بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Before beginning today, as we all know, the sad news going around about what has happened in Kuwait and our dearest brothers, Shia brothers in Kuwait that have been killed
in this incident. Just one point I just want to talk about a little bit before we get into the topic regarding this tragedy is that sometimes you have people doing things because they're fueled by the enemies of Islam for the purpose of Islamophobia spreading. And lots of the stuff that's going on around, stuff like Charlie Hebdo and stuff like that, you feel like, yeah, that's the agenda behind that is Islamophobia. When you can't fight an argument, when you can't fight a logic, there's no way then, you have no way to fight it except through physical means. Spreading Islamophobia, for example, will be one of them. But when you look at what happens in Kuwait, or what happened in Saudi Arabia a few weeks before Shahr Ramadan, the explosions that happened, you feel like it might be more than that now. It's a matter of hate crimes. It's a matter of their people being very illiterate, these people that carry out these crimes. Illiterate, very literalist approach to Quran, not questioning their scholars, and just taking whatever they hear about the Shia school, just taking it without any research at all. What we have to do is be careful, at least, is to not fuel the flame even more. There are some out there, I don't know how they think, how they look at things. While a majority, close to a unanimous majority of the Maraja, are telling us to be careful, not to provoke more, not to hurt others' feelings when it's not necessary. While these Maraja are telling us to be careful, we still feel that our religiosity lies in making sure we say things in a way that other schools of thought are offended. If I'm not going to be doing that myself, sometimes directly, indirectly, what I am doing is I'm supporting someone who is like that. We have to be very careful. Even if it means seeing this person, talking to this person, somehow they get the feeling that the people outside, they feel like, oh, this person is an important person. This person is a legitimate person when it comes to what he's doing, what he's saying, the way he's, what his approach is to Islamic issues. We have to be very careful. The least that we're not on the same page when they're writing the names down. Our name isn't next to theirs, at least. This is what our ulama are pushing for today. That we have to get the hearts closer and closer. This whole story of unity that they talk about doesn't mean that I have to believe in the beliefs of others, no. But it means that we have to know what the common enemy is, who the common enemy is, and be careful not to be hit by them instead of killing each other. Inshallah, let's recite salawat for the souls of those who have passed away.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
On the Day of Judgment, many people will have to answer. Many people that they thought they're serving the cause, they will have to answer. There's no joke when it comes to the lives of the people. When that person comes and blows himself up before blowing himself up, he has a video talking about how these Shia, all they can do is slander and all they do is abuse verbally. And it should be a wake-up call for some of us. It should be. Day of Judgment, people will have to answer. Going back to what we were talking about, when people ask me to elaborate more on some of the topics we talk about, it will put the rest of us in trouble. It will put the rest of us in hardship trying to follow when I go a little bit deeper. But I have no choice but to go deeper in what I was talking about yesterday. Although I wrapped it up yesterday, but when questions come, you feel like you have to open it up a little bit more. Yesterday, towards the end, we talked a little bit about how the terror of the Day of Judgment, or the terror before that, after that, that's a terror that we've all heard about, how the earth will quake, how the sun will go dark, and how the Biharu Sujjirat, the streams and rivers and water will turn to fire, will turn on fire. What does that mean? All of that crazy stuff that's happening on the Day of Judgment or before it. We've all heard that everyone will be prone to that, and it'll affect all of us. Yesterday I kind of touched on the fact that there are exceptions to this law that we've heard all our lives, that people will be terrified on that day. People will die on that day. Everyone will swoon on that day. But I didn't explain why there are some exceptions to this law. I didn't explain. I just said there are, and these are the exceptions. Today, we're going to talk about why there's an exception. Who says there is an exception? Who are the people that the exception is made for? Who does this for us? Allah Ta'ala does this for us. But I'm going to need your undivided attention, step by step, inshallah. We had two verses yesterday that I recited. The first one being Surah An-Naml, verse 87. That it says, on that day, whoever brings... That day will be a day of terror, but then an exception is made in those verses for those people that will experience that day, that there are some who will not experience terror on that day. It said, the verse said, whoever brings al-hasana, I said this yesterday, man ja'a bil-hasana, and the verse goes on and on and on, and then at the end it says, they will be immune to the terror of that day. So whoever brings al-hasana. Okay, we want to break this down now and see why exactly, who exactly does this verse talk about when it says, man ja'a bil-hasana. Yesterday I ended it. Yesterday I gave you the conclusion, but now we want to see why. What's the proof for this? Is this tafsir bil-ra'i, or is this tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an? The verse says, man ja'a bil-hasana, whoever brings good, he is safe from the terror of that day. When you look at the rest of the verse, it says, and whoever brings as-sayyi'ah. Whoever brings as-sayyi'ah. What's the opposite of al-hasana? As-sayyi'ah. To understand what al-hasana means in this verse, if we can understand what as-sayyi'ah means in that same verse, that will be a very, very strong context clue for us to understand what al-hasana exactly means. Are we not interested in not being affected by the terror of the Day of Judgment? Yes, we're all interested. If we can figure out sayyi'ah, we'll understand hasana. Yesterday I explained, al-hasana can't mean anyone who does one good deed, he's going to be safe from the terror of the hellfire of the Day of Judgment. That for sure is not meant. Because all of us have a little bit of good in us. Even the worst of the worst, you'll find something good in them that they did once in their life at least. So what's for sure is, al-hasana here doesn't mean just one hasana. Whoever does one good deed, Allah on the Day of Judgment, He's going to make him safe from the terror of that day. When we look at as-sayyi'ah in the verse says, those who bring sayyi'ah on the Day of Judgment, they will be thrown down on their faces. Face first, they will be thrown into the hellfire. The worst way of going to the hellfire is being thrown face first into the hellfire. That's the worst way to fall face first. If this is the worst of worst punishments, and it is being given to as-sayyi'ah, the result of as-sayyi'ah is being thrown face first, then this shows that this is going to be the worst degree of sayyi'ah one can have. So step one. As-sayyi'ah, the result of it is the worst of punishments. That means as-sayyi'ah is the worst of bad deeds. What is that? A person who has all evil. All evil equals a person who will be thrown face first into the hellfire. If as-sayyi'ah means pure evil, what's on the other side? If we say al-hasana, it'll be pure good. Whoever brings only good on that day, will be immune from the terror of that day. That's the result we get out of the context clues that we have in this verse. Good has been placed as the opposite of bad here. So conclusion you draw is that if I have all good, I will be immune. If I have all bad, I will be in the worst of states. What about in between, brothers and sisters? In between good and bad are mixed. That means you're not immune from the terror, one. And two, you won't be thrown face first into the hellfire either, yes. So you're not going to be the worst of the worst. You're not going to be the best of the best. Something in between. But that's not going to help you. If you want to get away from the terror of that day, what do? You have to make sure that you come only with hasana to your Lord. So someone right here will ask, but what about us who are not ma'soom? We've sinned all our lives. Brothers and sisters, the Quran tells us this. That even if you have sinned, if you repent, it'll be erased. And then Allah will put good instead of it. Okay, so we're not going to lose hope either. But to make sure we're going to be with those exceptions, we have to make sure we have this. All right, let's make some more gains here now. So you have to make sure that there's no bad whatsoever with you when you leave this dunya. Having said that, we're going to add to this even more. Allama Tabtabai, he says, when we look in the Quran, shirk has been considered an impurity. Okay? Step by step, brothers and sisters. Shirk has been counted as an impurity. Why? Let's look at this verse, for example. We all know this, but look at that. We have one verse here. Oh, you have faith, the polytheists are indeed impure, unclean, they have impurity in them. So they should not come to the Masjid al-Haram after this year. Impurity, even to an extent that some even derive physical impurity from this verse. But what's for sure is that they have an inner impurity, which is shirk. The mushrikeen are not allowed to go to Masjid al-Haram anymore after this year, the Quran says, when the verse was revealed, because there's an impurity in them, which is shirk. Alright, so mushrik, we're not mushrik though. But add to this verse now. In Surah Yusuf, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it goes, and most of the believers, brothers and sisters, this is not good for us here now. Most of them do not believe except that they are also mushrik. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ That there are people who believe in Allah. It's not about being Muslim. It's more than that. Iman is in the heart. He has Iman. But the Quran says that you're also mushrik. While you're mu'min, you're also mushrik. So it can happen that a mu'min, a Muslim, a person who believes in Allah, a person who might fast and pray and stuff, will still have traces of shirk in them, impurity in them. You might ask, how is it that shirk and iman, they can be gathered in one's heart at once? The answer is that iman and shirk have different levels. Higher levels, lower levels. Some levels of iman can be mixed with some levels of shirk. Some levels of iman cannot be mixed with shirk. Conclusion is that, who are those people who have no shirk in them at all? Those obedient servants of Allah that are ma'soom. The ma'soomeen are the ones who an exception is made for them on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because there was not even a trace of shirk in them. So how does this apply to me and you now? What we have to try to do is try to get as much shirk as we can out of our hearts. But the thing is, it's not in our hands to get shirk out of my heart or not get shirk out of my heart. My iman has to grow so much that I reach a level that Allah can call me an-nafsul mutma'inna. Once I reach an-nafsul mutma'inna, that's when there's no shirk anymore. Mutma'in means the tranquil heart, the tranquil soul. If you reach a point where you're a tranquil soul, yes, you will have no shirk in you anymore, no impurity in you anymore. When you don't have any impurity in you anymore, that means you don't have any sayyi'ah in you anymore. That means you're all hasana. How do I make sure that I get rid of all of this shirk? How do I make sure that I reach nafs al-mutma'inna? Some people ask. This verse is pretty cool. يَا أَيَّتُوَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً Return to your Lord, O tranquil soul, that level of the soul that you have reached. How do I attain that? How do I achieve that? Well, constant obedience will make you reach that. That's what the greats tell you. And as a matter of fact, they say when you reach an-nafs al-mutma'inna, which is not easy, But if you reach an-nafs al-mutma'innah, that you are a pure servant of Allah now, you reach the point where you don't sin anymore, they say it's impossible for you to turn back and go back. Once you reach an-nafs al-mutma'innah, it's as if you're seeing Him now. When you see Him, you understand how great He is. You can't turn away from Him anymore. You fall in love, in other words. When you fall in love, there's no turning back. Sometimes people fall in love, but then they see the flaws in their beloved. They say, okay, I just can't stand him anymore, or her anymore. But with Allah, it's different. When you see the perfection there, then there's no turning back, because there is no flaws in there anymore. You can't turn back. A person like this reaches a point where they have no shirk in them. That type of shirk that the Quran says we all might have, the mu'min might have. When you don't have the shirk, there's no bad. There's no evil in you. There's no evil equals there's no sayyi'ah. When there's no sayyi'ah, that means it's all hasana. I'm just going back. I'm reverse engineering this. Just going back. When you have all hasana, you are immune when it comes to the terror of that day. How good is that? See how step by step Allah Ta'ala, He uses the Quran to explain to us the conclusion that He's drawn from this verse. So this verse can apply to us. And when that happens, these hadith that we have start making sense. Where they say, Man ja'a bil hasana, the Quran says, the Imam explains, in Al-Kafi, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, the hasana is knowing the wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt and the love of the Ahlul Bayt. And the sayyi'ah is denying the wilaya and hate of us Ahlul Bayt, having hate of us Ahlul Bayt. Then he recited this verse, the Imam recites this verse. Okay. Wilaya of Ahlul Bayt, what does that mean? That means Allah has wilaya over everything, authority over everything. Since I obey Him, He's telling me to obey the Prophet. The Prophet is telling me to obey the Ahlul Bayt. So I have wilaya of Ahlul Bayt because I have wilaya of the Prophet, which in return I have wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean for me to have wilaya of Ahlul Bayt? In other parts of Al-Kafi, they tell us, those who obey us are our followers. Those who obey us have our wilaya. Those who obey us are our Shia. Other than that, you don't have wilaya of Ahlul Bayt. So can you see how obedience of Allah equals wilaya of Ahlul Bayt, wilaya of Prophet equals wilaya of Ahlul Bayt, and so on. All of these are connected. But the active ingredient is how obedient I am to them. If I want to get rid of all traces of shirk, it depends on how obedient I am to them. So all of this, you can say, it all lies in one word, wilayatullah. Those people who are immune are those who have wilayatullah. Okay, that was one verse that we had. So step by step, we broke it down, we opened it up. Allah Ta'ala did that for us to prove this point. What about the other one though, that I talked about yesterday? Those people that aren't terrified, but they still prove to me that they won't die on that day. When the trumpet is blown and some people die, or most people die, we've been growing up thinking that all people die. Is that the case or not? The verse, Surah Zumar 68, said that everyone will die when that trumpet is blown into, but there's one exception. What is that exception? The verse didn't tell us. All it said that was that they will die, and then they will be standing before us once we blow in the trumpet again. They will be made present. Okay, so this is a clue here. Allama Tabtabai takes this clue and then goes and searches in the Quran. He says, yes, the verse doesn't talk about how this exception of those people who will not die on that day, it doesn't tell us who they are. The previous verse just told us there are some who will not be affected by the terror. But not being affected by terror does not mean that you will be necessarily not affected by the death of that day. So we can't use that verse here. The only thing this verse tells us is that the trumpet will be blown in. People will die, then the trumpet will be blown in again. They will be standing before us and be made present before us. So Allah takes this part of the verse. And what does he do? He tells us that the verse implies that those who die on that day are the ones that will rise and stand before Allah. Okay? So, if you're going to be made present, you will have to have died. That's what the verse is implying, right? If we don't agree with this point, we can't go on. This point we have to agree, that the verse says, I will take their life and then they will be made present. They will be brought back to life. So this equals that. Alright. And that's here, Allama Tawi says, that those people who die on that day is the same people that another verse is talking about. It will be but a single cry, and behold, they will all be made present before us. This is Surah Yasin. So we have these two verses that are talking about how those who die will be brought back to life. If what if someone's already alive? Does Allah need to bring them back to life? Allah doesn't need to bring them back to life. They're already alive. Okay. Recite Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In that verse, it goes like this, the next verse that I'm using now. It says, so indeed they will be made present. Okay, I'm just going to say this one more time because it's very important. I have to repeat myself. One verse says, lets us know, the conclusion we draw from it is that those who will die will be brought back to life, will be made present. Let's put that aside. Let's go to the next verse. The next verse we have says, another verse in the Quran, so indeed they will be made present. It doesn't say who. But the previous verse that we recited told us that those who die will be made present. Here in this verse it says they will be made present. إِلَّا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. The only people that will not be made present are the عِبَادُ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, the purified servants of Allah. Okay, so we have two sets of verses here, two conclusions here. We're going to put them together. Pay close attention, inshallah. One verse says, one conclusion we drew was that those who die will be made present. Here it's saying, we will make some people present, or everyone present, except the ibadullah al-mukhlasin. They won't be made present. When we put these two together, what do we conclude? That ibadullah al-mukhlasin are the ones who are not made present because they never died. Death of that day didn't affect them. There's no way out of it. It's like checkmate. The first verse says, if you are going to be made present, you have to have died before it. You have to have died before. That's why you are made present. You are brought back to life. So if you are not brought back to life, if you are not made present, إِلَّا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ are not made present, that means they never died to begin with. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to make them present. They were already there from before. See how deep it gets, how complicated it gets. But who are these ibadullah al-mukhlasin? There's a big difference between mukhlas and mukhlis. We've heard both. What's the translation of each of these? Mukhlis means a person who purifies. Mukhlas means a person who has been purified. What's the difference between these two? When Prophet Yusuf was approached by Zulaykha, Allah says, we saved him. Why? Because he was one of our ibadullah al-mukhlasin. Innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin. He was one of our purified servants. Sometimes you have a good intention, you're doing something sincerely for Allah, they call you a mukhlis. You have purified your intention. You have purified your religion for God, and so on and so forth. That's all of us. If we're not mukhlis in what we do, it won't be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the conditions is for our niyyah, for our intention to be pure. So we all have this mukhlis, inshallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word mukhlas for certain individuals, not for everybody. Those who are mukhlis, they keep continuing what they're supposed to do until Allah purifies them now. That's a special purification. He does something with them so that when Zulaykha attacks, he is able to pass the test in flying colors. Allah gives them a special knowledge as if, a special understanding and cognition of him, that they're able to pass those tests. A special iman. This is not for just the ma'sumeen, just the Prophet's brothers and sisters. I've heard the greats say this. that it's even for normal people. If you continue the path of obedience of Allah, Allah puts a nur in your heart. This is hadith. Allah puts a nur in your heart, a light in your heart. You see, you understand that He's everything. You understand His greatness. You can't sin anymore, as if. Not because you're forced to not sin, but you see the harm in it. But before you did it, before you weren't like that, but although you knew it's there, the haram, that there's fire in it, you said, I know, I'm not seeing it, but for Allah, I'm going to continue. As you continued on and on and on, Allah now shows you things. These are ibadullah al-mukhlaseen. So, if we don't want to die on that day, well, maybe some of us want to, but maybe for some of us it's not that important that if we don't die on that day. But for those of us that it is important, that when the trumpet is blown into, we don't panic, terror doesn't happen. When the trumpet is blown, we don't die. If it's important for us, we have to make sure we're not one of those who is brought back to life, one of those who is made present. What was the only exception for those who are made present? Who is not made present on that day because they're already alive? Ibadullah al-mukhlasin, not al-mukhlisin. Mukhlasin, those who prove their servitude to Allah. How do I prove my servitude to Him? Continuously obeying Him. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to say, but it's very hard to act upon. Inshallah, we have that tawfiq. Alright, let's move on. Inna arsalna ilaykum rasulan shahidan alaykum kama arsalna ila fir'auna rasula. Fa'asa fir'auna rasul fa'akhadnahu akhdan wabila. In this verse it says, we sent to Fir'aun a messenger, a prophet. So everyone knows the story of Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salam. We all know that story. So why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this verse is not mentioning the name of Prophet Musa? There's reasons for everything in the Quran. Every word, our ulama, they focus on it and try to take out as much as they can. Here it says, Ar-Rasul. We sent the Ar-Rasul to Prophet Fir'aun. To Prophet Fir'aun. To Fir'aun, alayhi la'na. Okay? We sent a prophet to him. It didn't say Prophet Musa. Why? Here, Shaykh Mutahari has a good point. It's an interesting point. He says that here Allah wants to make a statement. That statement depends on him not speaking about who this prophet was, not taking the name of mentioning the name of this prophet. He wants us to, those who are reciting this verse, those who are reading this verse, those who are during the prophet's time when the prophet was reciting these verses, Allah wants to say, be careful not to make the same mistake that the people of Fir'aun or Fir'aun himself made. It's not about the individual here, it's about the fact that Allah sends His representative. When these nations, these countries, they send a representative, that representative, if his name is, I don't know, Ahmad Muhammadi, for example, this person does not represent Ahmad Muhammadi anymore. I hope there's no one by that name in the audience, because we're going to kill this person in a moment. So if this representative goes somewhere of X, country X, and then they kill this person, right? And they kill this person, that country says, we're going to war with the country that killed our representative. Why? We just killed Ahmad Muhammadi. Watch someone by this name in the world die these days. It's because this person wasn't this person anymore. This person represented this country. It's as if they killed all the people of that country when they killed the representative. Allah says, I sent a representative. You go against this representative, you've gone against me. Who cares who he is? I'm not going to even say his name. He's Musa alayhi salam. Yeah, but I'm not going to say his name even. Here, what counts for me is that he's my Rasul. He's my representative. Going against him means going against me. That's why some people, they would go against the prophets, but they were still in love with God, and they would. And the Quran talks about them. God says, no, no. He's my representative. You have to listen to everything he says. This is the point that we can draw from this verse. That you, O people of the Prophet, of the last Prophet, you're going down the same path that the people of Fir'aun and Fir'aun himself went down that same path. There's another point in this verse. It says, "Inna arsalna ilaykum rasulan shahidan." Shahidan alaykum. Why is the Prophet a shahid, a witness? Some people will take this very superficially and they'll say that what is meant is that the Prophet is here, he's seeing you people. He'll know who believed in him and who didn't believe in him. But we have other verses in the Quran that talk about the shuhada. That on the Day of Judgment, the shuhada will be brought. All Mufassirin say that shuhada in the Quran, when the Quran talks about shaheed, shahid, shuhada, it doesn't mean those people who have been killed in the way of Allah. Those are الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those people that have been killed in the way of Allah, Allah in the Quran refers to them with the term, those who have been killed in the way of Allah. When the Quran says shaheed, shuhada, shahid, it's all talking about witness, someone witnessing something. In the Quran, it says, we will bring the shuhada so that they will bear witness against those who did things. So for someone to be able to bear witness, they will have to have witnessed everything that they're going to bear, that they're going to testify to or testify against, right? Here we have some very interesting points, but just looking at your faces, how tired you are, we're going to leave that for later maybe, that how the Prophet is a shahid and witness of every single act his people do. How the Imam of our time is a witness of every single thing that we do, to the extent that the hadith say that when he is informed of what we do that is bad, he is upset. To this extent, every single thing that I do, Ayatollah Bahjat alayhi rahmah, he would say that Imam Sahib al-Asr wa Zaman recited salawat. He knows what we're going to say before we even say it. That's a heavy statement. Not only does he know what we're doing, he knows what we're going to say before we say it. Now I haven't heard anyone else say this before, but it makes sense when the person who has access to Malakutu Samawati wal Ard. That's what we believe, that an Imam has access to Malakutu Samawati wal Ard. When a person has access to that, of course he'll know what is in the future, what is in the past, what is happening in the present, what all the people are doing. How? It's kind of impossible for us to understand how. That's something that has to be experienced. But this is what Ayatollah Bahjat is saying. It's very clear why he says it as well. Shahidan means they are witnessing every single thing we do. That on the Day of Judgment, when the shuhada are brought, they are brought so that they testify against every single thing that we did. فَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمًا يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا or شَيْبًا. I don't have the zapt here. I think it's Sheba, I'm not sure. So it says, how are you going to be safe from a day that makes the young people old? So right here, when we see this verse, we're thinking, how does that happen? What is meant by that? Two possibilities. Number one is that this day is so long that young people become old in it. This one possibility. That usually doesn't come to mind. The second possibility is that this day is so hard on certain people that it makes them, if they're young, they will be made old because of the hardship and pressure of that day. Here Allah Ta'ala says the second possibility is the better one. Why? Because the first one doesn't read with the wording of the verse. It might be true. We might even have a hadith about how long that day is, but it doesn't read with the wording necessarily of the verse. The verse is saying that day itself, the essence of that day makes the young people old. If it was the time and the length of it, it would have said the length of that day makes the people old. But it's saying the day itself is in a way that it makes people old. Why? Look at these verses. I'll just recite one for you. The day that you will see it, every nursing, the day that you will see that day, when you see that day, every nursing mother will neglect what she was nursing, the baby that she was nursing. I mean, that has to be very tough for a mother, a nursing mother, the care of a nursing mother towards her child is much more than the care of our parents for us now. Right now, you know, some of us, we're in a way that, you know, they might not like us as much. But that baby, when that baby is nursing the mother, total love. Like then she could care less about her husband. Before it was all love about husband and stuff, but then after that she doesn't even see the husband anymore. It's just the nursing baby. But here it says the nursing mother forgets, neglects the baby. Every pregnant female will have a miscarriage, and you will see the people drunk, intoxicated. But they will not be drunk and intoxicated. They're not intoxicated. You think they are intoxicated. The way they're running around, the way they look like dizzy, some of them are fainting as if. What's wrong? Are they drunk? What did they drink? No, they didn't drink. What happened is, وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ, if I remember the word correctly. Allah's punishment is severe. It's giving us the cause of them running around like this. It's because of the severity of the punishment of Allah. They're seeing it coming. They're running around. They're fainting. They're looking like they're drunk, as if they don't know what's going on. What's wrong? Adab Allah Shadeed. They're seeing that Adab Allah is Shadeed. They are so worried. It's as if the soul wants to just leave the body. A person who is dying is as if they're dizzy. Inshallah, Allah saves us from the terrors of that day and the swooning of that day. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallu ala Muhammad wa alam.